Well, just two words are all that is necessary to sum up what is in my heart and in Michael's heart tonight. The two words, of course, are thank you. Thank you. But since brevity has never been associated with my preaching style, I thought that I would add a few more words, actually a lot more words. Firstly, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for giving Michael and me a share in your priesthood. That high priesthood so beautifully laid out for us tonight in the reading from the letter to the Hebrews. The gift of holy orders that allows us a ministerial part in his priesthood is the greatest honor of our lives. Secondly, thank you, Bishop Guglielmone and Bishop von Rosenberg, not only for your presence here tonight, but also for your strong, loving, and wise leadership for the church over the years. May the Lord continue to bless you as our shepherds with grace and joy of your holy office. And to my colleagues who are gathered here today, a special thanks to you for your support and for your love. To you, Father Newman, pastor of this venerable church of St. Mary's, please know how grateful Michael and I are to you for opening the arms and the resources of this parish in such generosity to help us celebrate this anniversary. Now, knowing that Father Newman is a man of refined and high liturgical taste, Michael and I quickly realized that tonight was to be no kumbaya event. And that our 1960s bell bottoms and tie-dye shirts would simply not pass muster. Thus these splendid outfits. Some of you may not know the essential part that St. Mary's Parish has played in Michael's life and in my life, so I'm going to tell you about it. It goes something like this. We have been good friends ever since we found ourselves in a world history class in the 10th grade. The teacher, while covering the Reformation period, tried to convince the class that the Catholic Church had been the cause of most of the troubles of the world. And it was the one institution to be avoided at all cost. Well, the teenagers that we were, that was a challenge too good to be ignored. So, one day we decided to walk from West Greenville, that's about 5 miles, to this place, this very place, to investigate at first hand the frightful institution known as the Catholic Church. Michael, who was a baptized Methodist, and I, not even a Christian, we approached the door ever so cautiously, that front door of the church, in the safety of the evening stillness. And to our surprise, the door was open. It was unlocked, and so we snuck in. Slowly, we wandered down this very aisle. It was all so mysterious to our eyes. The burning candles, the statues, the smell of incense, the crucifix, the altar. We were simply fascinated. It seemed so strange, and yet even in those first moments, we knew that we were home. We repeated these evening visits for several weeks. In the meantime, we read about a correspondence course for people interested in learning more about the Catholic Church. All you had to do was to write to the Knights of Columbus, and they would send weekly lessons about the church. At the end of the course, we took the offered exam, the test, and surprise, surprise, we passed. The final letter told us that we must now go and talk to the parish priest. Now, we had never met or even seen a priest. So, daring each other to make the call to the parish office, and from actually a phone booth real near the high school, we actually did this. We flipped the coin to see who would dial the phone. Remember, they were dialing phones back then. And then who would actually talk on the phone to the priest? Well, I won the toss. All I had to do was to dial the phone. And of course, Michael had to do the talking. Monsignor Baum, who was pastor of the church at the time, and Father Walter Melfi welcomed us with open arms, really, and made themselves available to answer all of our questions. So, to make a long story just a little shorter, before the year was out, we were baptized. Right over there is where the font was at the time, and fully received into the Catholic Church. It all happened right here. We were full-fledged and eager Catholics. For the remainder of our high school years, we would rise early in the morning before class and walk the 5 miles from West Greenville to the 6:15 a.m. Mass. We did that almost every day. Our parents and our friends at first thought perhaps, well, we were just going through a phase. But later they decided we were just nuts. But as time went on and our faith began to mature, soon even the parish priests and many parishioners, as well then as some members of our families, began to encourage us to think about the priesthood. And of course, we gladly received those remarks. So with school graduation completed and college on the horizon, we both made application for the seminary, for the diocese at that time, and we were accepted. So now, a bit terrified, we went off to the seminary. And after a settling in period, it was a real good fit. It was a perfect fit. So skipping now a bit to May the 8th in 1965, here on this very spot, we presented ourselves to our new bishop, Ernest Leo Unterkeffler, to be ordained priests. We were the first two he ordained for the diocese. The master of ceremonies for that mass was a young Father Joe Bernardine. Mary Callahan, who is here tonight, I saw her as I came in, sang in the choir. That was 50 years ago today. Well, over the years, our lives have taken different turns. Michael is now an Episcopal priest, happily married to Pat, and together they rejoice in their children and their grandchildren. Michael and I are both now technically retired, but with the same enthusiasm that first marked the day of our ordination, we gladly still serve in parishes almost every Sunday, I would say, somewhere in the Carolinas. As Michael and I come back to this sacred place tonight, this place that bears so much of our history, we are struck by that line in the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, which we will all sing in just a few moments. When Mary says, you know, those wonderful words, "The Lord has looked on my lowliness and has done great things for me," we feel that she is speaking for us. Those words have become, you might say, hallmark words for our ministry. Now, we might express them with a little more of a southern accent, I suppose. Something like this. "Lordy mercy, look what you have done. You have looked on those two scrappy mill kids from across the tracks and bless them real good." And now thanks to all of you who are here present, not only because you have taken the time to come here tonight, which is very gratifying, but thank you because you represent all those people who have walked with us, have encouraged us, have laughed and cried with us, have forgiven us, and stood by us, and yes, grown old with us. You have allowed us to be your priests, your friends, and you have filled our lives with happiness and joy. So, Michael, will you join me now, please? So we say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And even though we will repeat this many times during the liturgy, it cannot be said enough. And we say together and pray together, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.